If you start from Jericho and you measure the distance to Jerusalem, it's 17 miles. And going from Jericho, it's a slight hill. And back when these words were written, the road was windy. You couldn't see around each corner. And bandits used to hide out and rob individuals traveling either from Jerusalem to Jericho or vice versa. And now imagine you're making this trip yourself. And all of a sudden, to your surprise, you come around the corner and there's some bandits there, and they rob you of everything you have. Not only do they rob you, but they beat you that you're just laying flat, almost dead. The only thing people can really see is you breathing because your face is just face down in the dirt. And all of a sudden, from a distance, you hear, because you can't lift your head, you hear footsteps. And you believe that help is coming. And all of a sudden, as the footsteps get closer, what you hear, because you can't lift your head, is that the steps go to the other side of the road and they walk around you. And all of a sudden what you hear is the footsteps just getting further and further and further away. You wait, and all of a sudden you hear another set of footsteps. And they're getting closer, and now you believe that maybe this time you'll get the help you need. But the same thing, these footsteps cross to the other side of the road, and all of a sudden, they get further and further away. And here's the question, right? Why do we walk past? Right? What is it that all of a sudden we look at a situation and we know that we should stop, should help, and for one reason or another, we justify in our mind, right, whether we have not enough time or somebody else to take care of it, but we make a decision, a conscious decision, to keep walking. Right, and what I'm talking about is this story, the Good Samaritan. It's a story that we all know, right? And Luke 10, right, is an amazing story because it starts off with Jesus sending 72 in addition to the 12 disciples, right? They come back. They are grateful. Jesus then thanks God, and then all of a sudden we have this lawyer asking a question, right? And then Jesus responds by telling a parable, right? And here's the thing about the parable, it's you could sit and dissect the parable and look at different aspects, but I'm going to ask you not to do that because that is not the purpose of the parable. The parable has one theme, one idea, right? So don't strip it apart, right? And then as at the end of this, we have the story of Mary and Martha, right? And you would read chapter 10 and say, Well, how do all of these stories connect, right? And here's my proposition, right? That in order to know what the 72 have done, in order to know the meaning of the Good Samaritan, you have to apply the story of Mary and Martha, right? And my hope is to give you maybe a different understanding of how you would see this, because normally we would read these separately, right? And so why do we walk past somebody in need? How do we make that conscious decision, right, that I'm not going to do this and then be okay? Because here's the thing, most of us believe and want to be good Samaritans, but most of us fail. And it's not that we fail because we don't have it, and I'll explain what I mean by that. It's because I believe the priest and the Levi, they were equipped to take care of the individual that was laid out on the road. But I believe that when push comes to shove, when your cup is empty, you choose to walk to the other side of the road and keep walking, right? So today's message is about, is your cup full? Do you know if your cup's full? How do you know if your cup's full? And in the end, the message is really, right, serve, do ministry from a position of grace, not in order to receive grace, right? So it starts off, right, with these 72. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Right? He knows. Jesus knows. As a matter of fact, it's the same thing you and I experience today if we were to go out into the world. Right, we will get verbally abused by people's words. Right, and not everybody wants to hear what God has to share. But here's the thing, right? He says it again, right? I'm sending you out. He's saying, carry no money bags, no knapsack, no sandals, right? And you ask yourself, why would God tell them not to carry anything, right? And I believe so that nobody could take the credit for what God's going to do through them. Because it wasn't out of their excess that all of a sudden people were going to hear the gospel, right? The only thing they had to share was the words that Jesus gave them. And that's how it still works today, right? But sometimes in the church, we see people, right, serving out of their excess. And then they believe they're doing so much for God, right? But Jesus says to the 72, take nothing with you. And as a result, Eventually, the 72 come back, and each one of them are just rejoicing. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Right? It's like, wow! You should have seen it, Lord. In the power of Jesus, I rebuke you. And all of a sudden, lives were transformed. You should have seen it. Right? And also in Jesus, he doesn't rebuke them, but he redirects them. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice that you were able to heal, to cast out demons. Don't rejoice in that. However, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Right? He's helping them with perspective. Right? Don't be so surprised of what... As a matter of fact, Jesus is kind of saying, this is easy. Be surprised that your name is in heaven. Right? And then as a result of all this, right, Jesus steps back. And all of a sudden he thanks God, right? And it's one of those places where you see the Trinity, right? Even though Scripture never says Trinity, but you can see the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit working together. And at the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Right? He's just worshiping God for what he has done. Right? And then as Jesus is now traveling, because the 72 went ahead of Jesus and they were preparing each town and village so that when Jesus stepped into it, they would be able to receive him. But then there's a lawyer. And the lawyer is looking to test Jesus. And he asks him, right? And Jesus would respond, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? And the lawyer would say, who is my neighbor? Right? So the lawyer is trying to corner Jesus, but the lawyer is also trying to create a situation where he's clean. Right? Where no accusation could be made against him. So Jesus doesn't answer the question. He tells him a story, right? He tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. A priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed him on the other side. So likewise, the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side, right? So the guy laid out, beat. The only thing you can see is him taking a breath because he's not moving. And here's the thing, when you see the priest and the Levite, right? They don't walk past him because they don't have what he needs. They walk past him by making a conscious decision to walk past him, right? Because Scripture goes out of its way to tell us, right, that they saw him, right? They saw him. They looked at him, right? And they walked past him. How many times you and I have seen certain things? Maybe it's a day after doing a full day of ministry, just like a priest. And all of a sudden you find yourself that you don't have what it takes. And you see what needs to be done and you make a conscious decision, somebody else is going to take care of that. Or better yet, right, it's you see something, and instead of you doing what needs to be done, you go and you text somebody. You call somebody else, right? Somebody else will take care of it. The Levite, the one who would take care of all of the things within the temple, right, he would walk past. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Right? And here's the thing, right? It's for a Jewish man, right, for the lawyer, right, to even be considering within the same conversation a Samaritan, that would have been off limits, right? Because a Samaritan is what they would call a dead dog, right? Let's put it this way, right? The Jewish people believed that Gentiles were created for one thing, and that was for death, right? And they believed that the Samaritans were worse than that, right? But this, Jesus says, this Samaritan, right, it's as he was traveling down the road, he saw him. And in seeing him, Scripture uses this word compassion, that something deep within him was stirred. Right? And all of a sudden, as a result of that, Scripture tells us that he poured wine and oil, bandaged him up, put him on his animal, took him to the next village. While at the village, he told the innkeeper, here's 2 denarii. Take care of him. And when I return, if I owe you more, I will pay you. Right? It's amazing because this individual cross-culturally had compassion in wanting to care for this individual. An individual that as of right now, Scripture doesn't tell us whether he moaned or groaned or said, thank you. Right? Because Scripture doesn't say that. But he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. Right? Jesus would ask the lawyer, right? Which one of the 3 had mercy? Right? And the lawyer couldn't even speak the Samaritan. Right? Couldn't even say that title. Right? And he would say, well, the one who showed mercy. Right? And then Jesus would look at him and say, you go and do likewise. Right? Again, we all want to be the Good Samaritans, right? We read that story and we say, you know what? Yep. Just give me an opportunity, Lord, and I'll step in, right? But think about it. You're tired, exhausted, driving home from work, and all of a sudden you see somebody pulled over, right? And all of a sudden at that moment you go, I should pull over. Somebody else will take care of it, right? You see somebody asking, begging, right? And for the most part, you know, today we have what I call professional beggars, same like back then. But then sometimes there are those that touch your heart in such a way, and something's telling you you should give, and you justify in your head why maybe not, right? They're going to use it for drugs, right? And I believe with the priest and the Levite, and even with us, right, we can't give what we don't have, right? We might want to give. We might want to stop. But if our cup is empty, we're going to find it hard to give. Now we come to this story of Martha and Mary. Right? And you have to ask yourself, how are all these stories connected? Right? So as Jesus continues to travel village to village, eventually he comes to Martha and Mary's house. And Martha starts doing what she does. She's a great hostess, right? And Mary goes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And Martha is working. Eventually she is frustrated, right? And she complains to Jesus, Lord, can't you see that I'm so busy? Can you say something to Mary? But Martha was distracted with so much serving, right? She was doing the good thing. And this is not to say that hospitality is not a good thing. Right? But if you're serving out of an empty cup, guess what happens? You get frustrated. You get upset at the very thing you want to bless somebody with. Right? And then Jesus, with a very gentle heart, responds to Martha. Right? He goes, Martha. Martha, right? You're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And when I read Luke 10, right, all of it hinges on Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. The only reason why the 72 were able to go with nothing is because they received what they needed from Jesus. And then when they came back all excited, Jesus just corrected their perspective and say, no, don't be happy about that. Don't be happy that the church grew. Don't be happy that many were saved. No, be happy that your name is written in heaven. It's a correction of how we see things, how we do ministry. So I would encourage all of us that we need to become more like Mary. And then as a result of becoming like Mary, we can then be a Samaritan. Right? Then we will have what we need in order to bind them up, to take care of what we need to take care of, and also not worry, because we know that God is the one that's providing. Have you ever been so busy in ministry, and as you're doing, all of a sudden you look over and there's somebody just sitting down, and you go, I can't believe they're not helping. Right? That happens during VBS, especially when we decorate. Right? Because people start off real excited, and all of a sudden, people tend to just all of a sudden hide in the crevices. Right? And here's the thing, right? It's about just being joyful that they're here. Right? But sometimes we get distracted like a moth. Lord, can't you see? And we ask ourselves, well, how can we become a Mary? And it's by opening God's word and allowing God's word to fill us. Right? And we need to do it every single day, because every single day our cups get depleted. Right? You've heard that saying, right? That we should serve out of the overflowing, right? Of the filling, right? And right now I'm just talking about a fill cup, not the overflowing. We need to minister from grace, not for grace. Right? When we look at Mary, Martha, right? We see her serving, but all of a sudden, the gift of hospitality became a chore. Right? And all of a sudden, it became something that was difficult. But if the church is to grow, right, and God's the one that adds numbers to the church, right, then it's about going and proclaiming God's word and leaving it up to God, and knowing, right, that your satisfaction in all of that work is that your name is written in heaven. Right? That's the satisfaction. So let me ask you, is that enough for you? Is it enough for you that your name is written in heaven? Or are you looking for accolades? Good job. Thank you for serving. You know what? It was great to have you. Right? Or are you just happy enough that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you're content? One thing is necessary, and that is to sit at Jesus' feet. Right? Because we want to be the Good Samaritan. We want to be that individual, right, that takes care of somebody who's broken and hurting, right? A denarii, right, was a week's wages back then, right? The Samaritan, the one who was the most unlikely person. Remember, this individual was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was probably a Jew. And he, the Samaritan, chose to take care of him, Meanwhile, the priests and the Levites who are Jew chose not to. And not because they're bad people. Only because their tank was empty, probably. Right? So the story you've never really heard. Right? And again, when we read the story of the 72, when we read the story of the Samaritan, and when we read the story of Martha and Mary, we tend to read those stories as three separate stories, right? And if you ask yourself, right, how does the Good Samaritan become an individual with compassion? I believe God had to fill him. How do 72 go out and do ministry work that they come back rejoicing? God had to fill them. And we know that God did because God told them, don't take anything. Right? Don't take any backpacks. Don't take any clothing. Right? Just take what I've given you. And when we look at this story of Martha and Mary, right, Mary has chosen, by choice, to make a theological decision, right, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary was able to discern that Jesus is in my house, and I'm going to sit here. And in that particular time, first century, that's the picture of a student sitting at the feet of a rabbi because he's going to teach. Right? And she's saying, tell me more. Right? So when you open God's word, is that the posture you take? Lord, tell me more. Fill my cup. Fill my cup so that I could have the compassion of the Samaritan. Because here's the thing. Some of us might be able to serve out of self-will, and we might get the job done, but the people around us are going to be miserable because we're going to be miserable as we serve. Have you ever served with somebody who's miserable? Right? And all of a sudden they look at you and they go, oh, we're doing it all for God. Meanwhile, they're miserable. They're miserable. Right? A part of you, under your breath, you go, oh, you should have stayed home. Right? Because they're miserable. Right? This is a way of serving with deep joy and satisfaction. Because here's the thing, right? Everything we do, right? Everything we do is because Jesus gave it all. Right? And it all goes back to your name and my name being written in heaven. Right? And when you realize what that means, all of a sudden there's a peace that you're energized to do what God calls us to do. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Is your cup full? Is it full enough to give from? Like, ask yourself right now. Right? Ask yourself, is your cup full? My hope is as you're sitting here, right, you're not listening to me, Jose, but you're listening to God speak through me, right, and that you're getting full. You're not doing this just to say, all right, we attended services on Sunday, right, and you're checking a box, but that you want to be used by God. And here's how it starts, right? It starts by you identifying, Lord, even though I want to be a good Samaritan, yes, I've passed many people. Why? Because I'm a sinner to the core of my being. The only thing that makes a difference is you, my God. And why do we pass? I'm too busy. I'm running late. They're going to hurt me. They look scary. You know what? Somebody else will take care of them. What's the excuses that we give ourselves? Sometimes it is, hey, I've been doing ministry all day. I don't have to give anymore. But meanwhile, that's the one God wants you to care for. And that's why it's so funny when we say, yes, Lord. And then we go, not that one. Is your cup full? Is it full enough to give from? Right, so we're going to pray. And my prayer is that this prayer would become your prayer. Hear these words. Lord Jesus, we confess that too often we have tried to give what we have not first received. We have attempted to live like the Good Samaritans with hearts more like Martha, anxious, distracted, and weary. We have hurried through life, serving from an empty reserve instead of the fullness of your grace. At times, we have passed by the needs around us, not because we lack compassion, but because we ourselves are exhausted. Forgive us. Remind us again of the one thing necessary. You are present with us through your word and by your spirit. Fill what is empty. Quiet our restless hearts. Teach us to sit at your feet before we rise to serve. Help us to stop striving for your approval and simply receive your love. Anchor your joy in the unchanging truth that our names are written in heaven. Let our confidence rest not on our accomplishments, our ministry, or our success, but in your saving grace. You have given us a good portion that can never be taken away. Lord, shape us into a people who love like the Good Samaritan. Fill us with genuine compassion, gracious hearts, and a willingness to serve those in need. May our ministry flow not from obligation, but from the abundance of your grace that is at work within us. For those who are weary from serving, remind them today that your invitation is not to quit, but to come and rest at your feet. Renew their strength, restore their joy, teach them again to choose the better portion. As we leave this place, send us out to love our neighbor with the love we have first received from you. Fill us, Lord, so that we may be faithful to go and do likewise. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.